The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Jason, tonight we are here with another emergency Cavs podcast.
Yeah, we said we were going to do one for 2 weeks, but then something happened.
2 weeks, man. Holy cow. This was like, what, how long is the turnover here? Like 72 hours?
We kind of said, oh, it's going to be a few weeks, and then this happened.
So the obvious reason why we are doing the emergency podcast tonight is the firing of Coach Tyronn Lue from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Jason, what's your take on the firing
of Coach Lue? It's funny because yesterday I was with some coaches from Homestead Falls. We had our coaches meeting, and then we went to dinner afterwards, and we were talking, and I was like, I just don't think Ty Lue's going to make it. Like at the end of the season, they're going to fire him. And I mentioned it in the previous pod that the stank from the season was going to kind of be there, and he was Gilbert was going to rebrand. I didn't see him for getting fired 6 games into the season. In my opinion, it's not fair to him because the whole situation that we have presented to him, he's got. His best player hasn't played the last 2 or 3 games, and even if he was playing, he probably wasn't playing at 100%. And they were told to go young, and he went young, and then they got destroyed the first 2 games. He played a lot of the younger guys, and so then he was like, okay, well, I'm going to play some of the veteran guys, and then he goes and plays the veteran guys, and supposedly, you know, I've read on Twitter, Altman and people weren't happy that he was playing all the vets and not playing any young because they said they were going to go young, but he was getting crucified for losing all the games, so it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I read that Dan Gilbert actually said that he wanted younger guys to be playing more, which, again, would lead you to believe that, you know, they're, again, tanking rather than trying to be competitive. I think if you go back to, you know, the preseason and the thoughts that, you know, some of us had, including myself, that they'd be obviously better than what they've shown to be at this point. I think that was based on the fact that you were counting on Ty Lue to come up with a system that would enable the players that they had currently to be able to, you know, to put them in positions to be able to be successful. And it just doesn't seem like they really have done much to be able to really take advantage of the players that they have. And I will say in Ty Lue's defense, I'm not sure that there's much that you can do with the squad that they have. They just don't have anybody who can create things for other players. But I will say that I haven't been, over the course of time, I'm not sure that they've won anything, even, you know, when LeBron was here. I'm not sure they've won anything because of Ty Lue. I would have to say that in many cases they've won with Ty Lue being, at best, a neutral influence on the team. I just don't know what he brings. There's never been any talk from the locker room, from players, of, boy, Coach Lue really does this really well. I don't know what those things are. Yeah. What's he good at? I have no idea.
I think he's good at building rapport with players, because I know that after the firing got announced, the Instagram tributes and the tweets were going out, but from all the, like, literally every single player that was on the 2016 NBA champions except for Kyrie, which doesn't really surprise me too much, but like even LeBron tweeted about it, like, and he said, you know where to find me, so you know what that means. Ty Lue, assistant coach, Los Angeles Lakers, get ready for it.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty likely scenario, especially considering the fact that Ty Lue played there and, you know, obviously has connections there when he was with the Clippers.
Speaking of which, the Ty Lue play there, someone terribly photoshopped Dan Gilbert's face over Allen Iverson's face, the big step over picture. It's pretty funny. I'll try to include it in this episode because I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, if you can put that in the show notes, I think that would be a classic.
I want to give credit where credit's due. I believe it was Creative Juice. He does a lot of the things, the memes and stuff. So I shouldn't say it was terribly. It was pretty funny, though.
Does sound funny. You'll have to show me that one. Yeah. When we're done recording, I'll definitely enjoy taking a look at that.
So the only other aspect we really want to talk about here is the whole, well, interim head coach thing. And I don't know how much you've dug into this, but apparently they purported that Larry Drew was going to take over as the interim head coach. But Larry Drew doesn't really want the title of interim head coach. He's kind of jockeying for position here, which I think is smart in his case. He wants a long-term commitment. He said he will continue to be the voice that leads the team until they bridge the gap, until they made a decision on how they're going to do things. So I think it's interesting because you know, the Cavs are in a weird situation here. Like, who are they going to think? If they don't hire Larry Drew and have him be the... I don't think that he'll stick around like this for the whole season based on the way that it was phrased by Shams and Woj about how he wants a long-term commitment if he wants to be the interim head coach. I don't know what the Cavs do. Someone said Damon Jones is interim head coach.
James Posey.
So I don't know what the game plan is for the Cavs, but it's kind of shocking that they didn't have a plan in place for this exact scenario. Like, they had to have...
You would have thought they would have had to talk to Larry Drew prior to this happening. But apparently maybe Larry Drew didn't let him know that was the case. But I don't know. Again, I think anytime you fire somebody, you have to look at who's out there that is going to be replaced. And I think this is another sign that the goal of this season is not to be competitive, which is maybe the opposite of what we initially thought. It seems like now they've decided that they're going to go ahead and just tank away the season, which as a Cavs fan makes it tough to watch the basketball team this year, especially considering the success that we've all been able to experience during the LeBron era. But ultimately, if you want to get back to the place where you've been, I mean, our only viable path is to get lucky in the draft and find the next, you know, great top five player in the league in the draft. And
Zion.
Otherwise, right. Yeah. I mean, you watch Zion's highlights on TV and, you know, obviously they're pretty impressive, but, you know, who knows? I mean, by the end of the season, there's probably a guy out there that we haven't even heard of that, you know, we could end up drafting or whatever. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch the season unfold.
I think my favorite thing was, so Shams and Woj tweeted out like 12 hours ago, and the Cavs didn't tweet anything out for like 5 hours until after that.
Maybe Woj fired him.
but it's just weird. I don't know. I don't know that. I think it was kind of ill-conceived this early in the season. I would have at least given him 15 to 20 games. I mean, not that anything's going to change, but at the same time, it's just, I think it's odd timing. I don't get it. And quite frankly, if your goal is to tank and you're 0-6, and I mean, I get that.
Seems like Ty Lue was doing a good job.
Ty Lue was doing a great, perfect job. So, you know, I think this is a Gilbert attempt at a rebrand. But I don't necessarily know that 6 games into a season is good, because I'll tell you, the from what I've been reading and listening to on the radio a little bit around Brown stuff was, it seems like the overall consensus that this was a terrible move by Gilbert, and once again, dysfunction in the organization.
I mean, I can see where that could be potentially the way that you look at it, but I also think that you have to just take it with a grain of salt in that it doesn't really matter who's coaching this team. You know, I think it's been pretty obvious through the first 6 games of the season that they're not going to be a very good team no matter who's coaching them.
Still don't ask Tristan.
Yeah, I think Tristan might want to and try to delete some of those tweets and comments that he made before the season. You might want to keep that to yourself from now.
He might have a constant be on the freezing cold takes.
I think he was talking about like whatever team he's going to get traded to in the middle of the season. Maybe he thinks he's going to be traded to a contender. That's who he was talking about.
My buddy says Love's gone the next 3 weeks.
Well, when he's not eligible to trade it yet, is he? I don't think he can be traded till like December 15th or something. Okay. There's the rule. I could be wrong, but I don't think he can be traded yet.
Okay, so December 16th he'll be traded.
I think that they're going to do everything they can to get rid of, you know, any of their veteran guys that were part of, you know, their championship run. It just doesn't make sense to keep them around if they have any value at all. Again, especially if you're trying to lose. I think the one other interesting aspect of this whole thing with Ty Lue, to me, is that you go back to the time when the Cavs hired him as an assistant, that he was, at least at the time, considered to be the up-and-coming young coach.
Because it was between us, him and Steve Kerr going to coach on the bench, right?
Right, and I mean, it wasn't like he was an out of left field hire of, man, I can't believe that they hired this guy. I mean, he was considered to be the top young assistant at the time in the league. And the fact that, you know, again, I guess you can, you know, we can all complain and do whatever we want. I mean, he's the only guy that has brought a championship here. And obviously he wasn't necessarily the driving force, but it's hard to argue with, you know, he's, He is the only guy that won a title. So, yeah. But again, I just don't know what he, I don't know what he added to the team. There was nothing that made you sit up and take notice that, wow, this guy is a fantastic coach. There just wasn't now, anything.
I think another fair point to make about that whole situation was, I don't know the timeline exactly, but I'm pretty sure Ty Lue signed on as an assistant coach prior to LeBron coming back. True or false? I mean, that's 5 years ago, so I can't say. So
I think that's true because they hired Blatt and then Ty Lue was hired in that same time frame. I believe Ty Lue was hired.
I'm also pretty sure that, you know, Ty Lue was in consideration for the job prior to Blatt. I believe he got interviewed. If once again, that's going back 5 years and been a long 5 years with when it comes to Cavs basketball. So I feel like his whole scheming and whatnot 5 years ago and him being an up-and-coming coach kind of might have gotten stifled by the whole, oh, LeBron's coming back, let's things. And then they're throwing this roster now and he's like, I can't do anything with this. Like, I mean, I can try, but maybe not the way that he would have gone about doing things with, say, Kyrie or, you know, a young core like they had when he originally signed on.
Yeah, and again, you can't, as a coach, the thing that always comes across and that everybody has to remember is ultimately talent wins. I mean, coaching can, you know, make a difference to some degree, but ultimately you got to have the horses to be able to go out and play and compete. And certainly this year, you know, he doesn't have the same level of talent and you know, players that he had in the past. And so it's hard to really say, oh, he's doing a terrible job. I just think, again, I'm not sure what he added to the Cavaliers' success as a coach. And I don't know who's out there. Larry Drew, he's been a career NBA guy. You know, he's coached in a couple different spots. He's been an assistant here. Obviously, he had a moderate amount of success when he coached last year when Ty Lue was out. It seemed like the players reacted favorably to him. So who knows? You know, and is there somebody else out there? I don't know who the names are that are out there as a hot assistant.
Dan Van Gundy.
Or a retread. You know, maybe we can get a dual coach GM type situation with Stan Van Gundy. Hopefully that is going by the wayside.
Please no. Please, Cavs. I know you're not listening to this. No.
No, I don't think there's any chance that that's going to happen. But, you know, again, I don't know who the names are that are out there. I don't know what the choices are. The reality is Larry Drew's probably going to coach this team through the end of the year, and then, you know, the Cavs will make their decision about what they're doing, and a lot of it may depend on what they get in the draft and where they end up and, you know, who they think can develop whatever the pick is that they end up getting, because if they can get into the top five of the draft and get a guy who potentially could be the next franchise cornerstone, then you want to have the right person in place to be able to develop that guy and develop Sexton and develop the other young guys that they have and try to make it into a, you know, a team that can grow and hopefully eventually get back to the levels that, you know, Cleveland fans, we've been spoiled over the last 15 years with the opportunity to watch, you know, one of the greatest players in the history of basketball.
I agree totally. I think that pretty much wraps it up for us. Thanks for listening to our quick emergency pod. We're actually being quick tonight, so
thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next emergency Cavs episode. We're not sure when it will be.
Hopefully not Tuesday.
If Dan Gilbert sells the team in 3 days, we'll be back on. We'll catch everybody next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.